I hope you're ready for a border battle. Had a good off day yesterday. Brewers are in Minnesota, getting ready for a quick two-game set with the Twins before finishing off the first half out in San Francisco. Let's take a look at the roster, get you some injury updates, look at the league as a whole, and get you noted on this rotation moving forward as you get ready for the final week of the first half. You're Locked On Brewers.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Good morning. It is Tuesday, July 12th. I'm Dominic Petronio. This is Locked On Brewers, your only daily podcast dedicated to the Brew Crew all season long. We're available free and wherever you get your podcast, right here where Apple, Spotify, Stitcher, or even on YouTube as well, where we post all the video versions of these podcasts. My name is Dominic Petronio. I'm the statistician of Valley Sports Wisconsin. Well, today, if you are watching on YouTube, and apologies for the delayed upload from yesterday's podcast, but if you're watching, I'm obviously not at home. I am in St. Louis still, getting ready to work Dodgers Cardinals tomorrow for TBS. So Jeff and Rock will be on their own with our good friend Jack Eidelberg, who will have the stats for us here today. And then I'll be right back with the Brewers on Thursday in San Francisco. But I digress. As just heard the Cardinals won, heard the fireworks go off, so now we're going to go ahead and hit record here last night. First and foremost, obviously the Brewers were off yesterday, so I just want to give you a quick standings update of where things stand right now, what we're looking at, and what to be prepared for. First and foremost, the Brewers are still in first place. They're two games up on the Cardinals. Brewers are 48-39, the Cardinals are 47-42. They're still not even at the 100-game mark yet. Unofficially, the 100-game mark, in my opinion, is when scoreboard watching season begins, but really, it's after the All-Star break. So we'll really start to keep an eye on things a lot tighter, but the Cardinals did win yesterday, 6-1. They had a wraparound series with the Phillies, and as I'm recording right now, there's actually dramatics happening out in Atlanta. The Mets are leading the Braves right now 3-1 and still threatening in the top of the ninth inning. Max Fried had a weird start. He had five walks. Max Scherzer was, well, Max Scherzer, as you would expect. Jacob DeGrom's on his way back. He's in AAA right now. Max Scherzer, and yesterday, he went seven innings, three hits, one run, no walks, nine strikeouts. The one run, a solo homer by Austin Riley, his 24th of the year. That dude should have been an all-star, speaking of all-star snubs with Devin Williams. But anyway, just a quick peek at the scoreboard, but as we look at things right now, we're talking about it today here in St. Louis with a few folks of that, man, this extra wild card team, I think, really is going to make an impact because the standings, look at division-wide, it looks like it's pretty set, but granted, the Braves are making a heck of a run right now at the Mets, and I know the Mets are going to get some reinforcements with DeGrom, and they've already got Scherzer back. Atlanta, man, they are still a great team, and the Brewers split their series with them, lost the series in Atlanta, won the series at home. That's looking a lot better day by day. Tell you what, another series that's looking better and better day by day right now. How about the Brewers winning the series against the Orioles despite losing that first game, the home opener? I remember all of us were panicking, like, oh my God, lost a game to the Orioles? What is going wrong with this team? I don't know if you all have noticed, but Baltimore's won 8 games in a row. They're one game under 500, and they're 2 games out of a playoff spot. 2! So what will Baltimore do? Are they just going to let it ride and not add anything, or do they trade Mancini? Do they trade? Do they listen to offers? They're in a fascinating spot because they're probably peaking a year earlier than they expected to peak over in the American League. So they're 43-44. They have a better record than the White Sox. The White Sox are 41-44. I find that fascinating. But here in the National League, looking at the wild card race, the Giants are playing right now as I'm recording. Giants are playing the Diamondbacks right now, but the Giants are currently on the outside looking in as far as the wild card picture. They're a game and a half back of St. Louis and Philly. So if San Francisco wins, they will remain a game back. But if they lose, they'll be 2 games back of that last wild card spot, which currently Philly and St. Louis are tied for. That could be a fascinating race down the stretch of the team that's in second in the Central is going to be thrown into the fire. As far as what's wild is, there's a very good chance. Remember, the last team that is the worst division winner of the three will face the last team into the field. And if that ended today with currently it's a 2-2 series between St. Louis and Philly, but if that series ended today, let's say it's St. Louis getting in because they have 47 wins, it would be Brewers-Cardinals in the first round of the playoffs. That's a very real possibility, and I think everyone needs to buckle up about, because let's be honest, the Central Division winner is not going to have home field advantage. It doesn't matter what happens. Dodgers are going to have the best record in the NL, and the second best is clearly going to be the East. So there is a hypothetical where the Central just rematches the 3 seed versus the 6 seed coming up in the postseason. And the home field advantage of winning the division could be huge for the Brewers if they end up facing the Cardinals once again. Elsewhere in the standings, San Diego's 3 games clear in the second wild card spot. Atlanta obviously has the top wild card spot, but they're chasing down the Mets right now for that first spot in the East. Then Philly and St. Louis, as we mentioned, are tied. San Francisco's 1.5 games back, and then Miami is 4 games back, and they don't seem like they have enough offense, nor will they trade to acquire offense to make them into real contenders coming up here in the second half of the season. Over on the American League side, it's getting fascinating, and it's going to be a lot of fun to watch the Mariners. I picked the Mariners to win a wild card spot in the preseason show. They're currently tied with Toronto. They just finished up a 4-game sweep of the Blue Jays at home in Seattle. And for those of you who don't know, the Mariners-Blue Jays series in Seattle is a lot like Cubs-Brewers, but in a different way that you may imagine. Obviously, Toronto, the Blue Jays, they're all of Canada's team. Seattle, Vancouver, right there, a huge base of Blue Jays fans that come down to Seattle to see the Blue Jays play against the Mariners. So you hear roaring back and forth crowds, Blue Jays fans, Mariners fans. It's a lot like Brewers and Cubs games. So the fact that Seattle won all 4 of those games reminds everybody they are for real. They are not. They have won 9 of their last 10 games. They're 45-42. They're not going to win the West. The Astros are the second best team far and away in the American League. But Seattle can continue to make things interesting and put pressure on the AL East. Tampa Bay and Boston are ahead of them, but Boston's only 2.5 games up on them at the time of recording. And currently, Tampa Bay is leading Boston down at the Trop 7-5 right now in the bottom of the 8th as I sit here and record this show. Anyway, I wanted to give a quick standings update here on this off day. Obviously, the Brewers didn't play yesterday, but let's get into some injury updates. Let's talk about what you actually clicked on this for to learn about the team, see what's going on. Before we do that, I want to tell you about our friends at Built Bar. Look, their kitchen is always churning out amazing products that taste good and, oh, by the way, are great for your health. They have the greatest, latest and greatest thing right now. It's called the Coconut Brownie Chunk Built Bar, and they have it available in the Puffs as well. If you haven't tried either one of these, look, Built Bars covered in 100% real chocolate, low calorie, low sugar, and yet high protein. It is actually something sweet that you will enjoy, and it's good for you. It's made with collagen protein, which your body absorbs more efficiently, and it provides a ton of health benefits too, so you can eat something meant to be digested. You know, you'll have chalky and chemical spill type Built Bar or a protein bars, not Built Bar. They are phenomenal. And if you want to have something a little different, their Puffs are exactly what you're looking for, a protein-infused marshmallow. It's delicious, it's chewy, and still 100% real chocolate. And they got this brand-new brownie chunk Built Bar. I love brownies, man. Are you a center person, or are you an edge kind of person for the brownies? I'm a center. I like the gooey, but this is what you want with Built Bar. You can try these awesome brownie chunks, or you can go see their entire lineup at Built, B-U-I-L-T, .com today. And we got a promo code for you, LOCKED15. Promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your order at Built, BUILT.com. Let's talk about injuries before we get into the rotation and what the rest of this week looks like for the Brewers ahead of the All-Star game. First and foremost, Hunter Renfro, it doesn't sound like he's going to return for Minnesota. It sounds like he will return for the San Francisco 4-game series over the weekend. Remember, he's dealing with a left calf strain. He was placed on the injured list retroactively on June 23rd, and he already missed 14 games earlier this year with a hamstring. Now he's missing this time with his left calf strain. You really hope this is the end of it for him. You really hope that he's going to be healthy the rest of the way, because his pop in the middle of the order will be huge. And when he returns, remember this crazy stat? The Brewers, their main compliment that they signed this offseason, that were here to help and try to add to this offense, this compliment of Colton Wong, Willy Adames, Luis Urias, Andrew McCutchen, and Hunter Renfro. Those 5 guys, okay? You obviously brought back Willy, Wong, and Adames, but adding Renfro and adding McCutchen, that's 2 big pieces to go along with Yelich and Telez. Those 5 guys I just mentioned, they have played together for a grand total of 4 games. 4! They've all been active at the same time for 4 total games. So I would really look forward to seeing what this team can do with them all together. I'm not saying Hunter Renfroe is going to be the savior and the reason why this offense is going to suddenly go on a tear, but it would be nice to see a legitimate power threat to take some of the load off of Rowdy Tellez in the middle of this order right now, because you can see him pressing. You can see teams attacking him, giving him the matchup lefty. Lest we forget, the thing about this lineup, and we talk about, oh, why does Council go righty-lefty all the time? Well, when you put Tellez third, like he is right now, when you put Tellez third as a lefty, you look at the cleanup spot. The Brewers have had no consistency in the cleanup spot all season long, aside from when Hunter Renfroe is there. So whenever they put McCutchen there against the lefty or Renfroe there against the righty, it doesn't. Renfroe can hit both righties and lefties for the same amount of power. But when you put a legitimate power threat like Hunter Renfroe behind Rowdy Tellez, that makes things a little more interesting. Again, I'm not saying Hunter Renfroe is the next coming of Babe Ruth, but it should help Rowdy Tellez in theory. And if McCutchen's going to be batting cleanup against lefties, that could work out as well for the Brewers in the same regard of Tellez batting in the three spot. And then you've got, if Tellez is batting third, I mean, he may move down like he did on Sunday against the Pirates and Jose Quintana. Maybe move down to seven so that when they are into the bullpen, it makes it a little different knowing you've got Mike Brasso available off the bench perhaps, or if he's not starting the game. There's roster flexibility against lefties when Renfroe comes back, which will be huge. That leads me to the next point about roster flexibility and the roster crunch that could be coming. In regards to Tyrone Taylor. Tyrone Taylor has been out with a concussion since June 30th in Pittsburgh. When it comes to Tyrone, remember, he's been given the everyday center field job since the Brewers DFA'd Lorenzo Cain, but he hasn't really ran away with it since that day. And then they called up Jonathan Davis's outfield depth. But now, this past weekend, we've seen Andrew McCutchen play center field. Now, he hasn't really been tested yet. He's had a couple bloopers, he's got a couple balls in the gap, but he hasn't been required to really track one down in the gap. And when Renfroe comes back, he's got a great arm, but not necessarily the best of range. I wonder how that will match up for McCutchen, who's still got great speed today. Do the Brewers option Jonathan Davis to put Tyrone Taylor back onto the roster, knowing that, oh, hey, well, Kutch can be the backup center fielder. Maybe even Kutch can start in center field, and then you'll put Tyrone in left and Yelich as a DH against left-handed pitchers. I feel like that's an option right now on the table for the Brewers. And then if there was another injury to an outfielder, you call Jonathan Davis back up. Because as it stands right now, your outfield of Yelich, Tyrone, and Renfroe would be your everyday lineup, as far as, you know, especially versus righties. And then against lefties, you'll have perhaps Tyrone in left, Kutch in center, Renfroe in right, and then Yelich DHing. But McCutchen would be that fourth guy. He'd be the DH, though, which means you don't truly have an outfielder on the bench aside from Jace Peterson, of course, who can play a corner outfield. You're not going to put him in center. I feel like that's something the Brewers are going to entertain. And in regards to Renfroe, maybe it goes with his move. When he arrives, you start thinking about, okay, when Tyrone comes back, which is also scheduled to be San Francisco, that Davis will have to go back down to the minor leagues. And then that also brings up the thought of, what do you do with Pedro Severino? Because obviously the Brewers roster, the 40-man roster is full, and obviously the 26-man roster is full. And when you talk about Severino and carrying three catchers right now, when Renfroe and Taylor return, I don't see that happening for two reasons. I think we might be seeing the end of Severino, the short-lived era here for the Brewers pretty soon, mostly because, number one, you already have another catcher on the 40-man roster. Yes, he's injured, and he's not a, you know, legitimate power threat in Alex Jackson, so they would have to outright him or let him walk. He does have one option remaining, so you could option him back down and keep him on the 40-man roster. But when you have Freddie Peralta return, currently you're at a full 40-man roster, so where's the room going to come from? And if Jake Cousins returns like they hope he will in the second half, that's another guy currently on the 60-day IL. So where do those two guys fit into the roster right now? I think one way that they can fit him in is moving Luis Perdomo to the 60-day IL. He's got elbow effusion. Sounds like he's not going to be pitching anytime soon. They can certainly retroactively put him on the 60-day IL, which thus opens up a 40-man roster spot. And another way that you can keep an extra man available, or at least in the 26-man roster, is a reminder, Chichi Gonzalez is still on this team, and until the guys like Freddie come back and Hauser come back, I don't see him serving a role on this current club. So that's another spot that you would be outriding a guy, putting him on waivers, getting him off your 40-man roster. So that's two spots that you could free up. But I don't know how much longer this roster is going to be able to keep three catchers with Pedro Severino. And again, once the games really start mattering, August, September, I don't want to put, this is me talking now, not the Brewers. I don't want to put a defensive liability behind the plate just for his bat. Not in today's game. Not with your pitching staff. We saw he's led the American League in pass balls in each of the last 2 years, and he had a pass ball against the Pirates that produced a run. It was an unearned run against Lauer. And for the majority of that game, the Brewers were down by a run. Yes, they hit a couple of home runs, the Pirates did, but that pass ball was the difference of the game for a long while. I don't have that confidence having him behind the plate as opposed to a Caratini or a Narvaez. I don't know if this is the end of it, but if, in my opinion, this is the end is probably near just because of the roster crunch that is facing the Brewers right now with their injuries on the way back. A couple updates on the arms. Freddy Peralta is throwing in simulated games right now in Arizona. There is no timetable for him to return to actual games, but the reports from the clubhouse say that he is ahead of schedule and he feels good. And that's all you can really ask for at this point. The Brewers are holding out hope for August, which is what we've been saying since this injury, and the fact that he feels good, he feels strong. Encouraging. Anything you get out of him, because he's got to build back up, mind you, for the pennant race for August and September. That would be a massive boost for the Brewers in September when arms are hanging, when guys are trying to just get it to the finish line and get that new juice of getting into the postseason. Having Freddie back would be huge. And Miguel Sanchez, he's throwing flat grounds. They're hoping he returns by the end of the month, probably after the All-Star break. But the crunch with Sanchez is, well, Chichi Gonzalez would probably have to be, you know, put on waivers for him to make room for him if he's going to come by the end of the month. But for Miguel, he's got an option year remaining. He's already been optioned this year. So he may just be sent down to Nashville because they need that extra added length of what Chichi's giving them until Adrian Hauser comes back. That's another thought for another time after the All-Star break. But I wanted to give a full injury update as we get into the rotation for this next coming week as the Brewers get ready to finish off the first half with the Twins and the Giants. Before we do that, I want to tell you about our friends at Rock Auto. I've used Rock Auto myself. I've had a few folks tell me they've used it. My sister just used it the other day. With the ever-increasing number of makes and models, there's no way your local auto chain store is going to be able to have everything your car is going to need. You can go and try to pay a 30%, a 50%, even 100% markup, and you can just see them type way behind their computer and question you to no end. Is it an SE? Is it an EX? What model is it? What color is this? Is it a pewter gray? Look, just go to rockauto.com. You can save time and money and see all the parts your car or truck could ever need. They have literally everything. Brake parts, tail lamps, rear view mirrors. They've got upholstery, they've got carpeting, they've got seats, they got seatbelt, they got everything at rockauto.com. Every price is reliably low for every single customer. Go to rockauto.com right now to see all the parts available for your car or truck and write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so you can say that Locked On Brewers sent you to rockauto.com. Amazing selection and reliably low prices. All the parts your car will ever need at rockauto.com. Rotation. Brewers play tonight at 6:40, tomorrow at 12:10. Tonight is on Bally Sports Wisconsin. Coverage begins at 6. And tomorrow is a YouTube game. So don't click on Bally Sports expecting to see the Brewers. You will not see it. It is a YouTube exclusive game available for free. No blackouts, nothing like that. Available 100% free on YouTube. That'll be Scott Braun and Yonder Alonso, crewed by MLB Network, to do that game tomorrow. But tonight, Jason Alexander gets the ball. He's 2-1, a 4.75 ERA, going up against a rookie, Josh Winder. 4-2, 3.12 ERA, fastball, slider, change, curve guy. Doesn't throw overly hard. He doesn't spin it either, but he is a fly ball pitcher. And Minnesota is a big ballpark. Hope for warm weather, obviously. But for Winder, a fly ball pitcher may be exactly what the Brewers want to see right now after having so many ground balls over this past weekend, especially against the guys like Zach Thompson and Kyle Hendricks last week. They would like to see a fly ball pitcher, someone they can elevate that's not going to blow it by them right now. So see what the Brewers can do against the rookie Josh Winder. And then finally tomorrow, Aaron Ashby will get the ball. 2-6, 4.42 ERA. He pitched very well on Friday against the Pirates. Against another rookie, Joe Ryan, 6-3, 3.09 ERA. It's been an up and down year for the Twins. They are still in first place in the American League Central right now. When you look at their team, the first name that jumps out to you, obviously, is Carlos Correa. But for the team that has Byron Buxton, and he has been hot and cold all over the place this season. When he's hot, look out. He looks like the best player in baseball. When he's cold, he just can't quite figure it out. He's 28 years old now, is Buxton. He's currently hitting .215 for his batting average. You're thinking, oh, wait, I thought he was a lot better than that. Well, he's got an .845 OPS. He's got more homers than the rest of his extra base hits. 11 doubles and 2 triples, but 23 homers. He's also only stolen 2 bases this year, so they're making sure he stays healthy for the entire season. He's only had 281 plate appearances. He's played in 67 of the games for the Twins. As for Carlos Correa, in case you're wondering, he's having a great year. He's third on their team in WAR. He's played in 64 games, .278, an .803 OPS. Only 10 homers this year, which is to be expected, leaving Houston, leaving that friendly Crawford boxes out there in left field. But the real star of the Twins this year, if you haven't heard already, Luis Arraez, best hitter in baseball this season as far as pure bat-to-ball skills. He's got a .348 batting average. He's got a .420 on-base percentage, but that's not even the headline. The headline is he has 25 strikeouts and 324 plate appearances. Think about that for a second. 25 strikeouts in more than half of a season. He's got more walks than strikeouts still to this point. Luis Arraez, what an incredible season for this Venezuelan second baseman. He's got 100 hits on the nose. He leads the Twins in WAR. He is going to be a hard out. He leads all of baseball in batting average. Look out for him. Looking ahead to the rest of the weekend, Brewers take on the Giants for the Final Four. Stay up late with us watching Brewers and Giants as it'll be 8:45 on Thursday, 9:15 on Friday. Saturday is a Fox game at 6:15, and then finally close out the first half at 3:05 on Sunday before heading into the Home Run Derby on Monday and then the All-Star game next Tuesday. This is a projection of what things look like for the rotation for the Brewers. It looks like Corbin Burnes will start on Thursday. You would have thought he would have started today. Today would have been his normal day of rest, but decided to push him back for maybe to keep him as an option to start the All-Star game. Depends on what the Marlins do with Sandy Alcantara. I feel like he would get first option if he wants to start. Tony Gonsolin is pitching on Wednesday as well for the Dodgers, so he could be an option as well. Tony Gonsolin pitching at home would be an option Major League Baseball loves to see for the LA starter. But Burnes now has that on the table if he wants to pitch in the All-Star game on his fifth day. So that's available to him. Then he looks like Brandon Woodruff would start on Friday. Eric Lauer would start on Saturday. And then he would go around one more time for Jason Alexander and maybe a full bullpen day with Chi-Chi and whoever else may be available on Sunday to close out the first half and then get healthy and get ready to go for the Rockies coming up in the second half. That's a quick peek looking ahead. We gave you the full injury rundown. Let's all take a deep breath together. It's a new week, 6 more games to the first half. Told you the number yesterday. The Brewers are a very good second half team, over .600 winning percentage in the second half since 2018, 6th best in all of baseball. And when you look at the way this team is going to get better in the second half. Renfro is due to return. Tyrone is due to return. Freddie is due to return. Your bullpen will get a little more help as well when Sanchez returns. And if Cousins returns healthy, don't forget about him. There are reinforcements coming. And you know David Stearns and Matt Arnold are working the phones right now, seeing maybe someone might be listening if they want to make a trade. Quick little episode, little breather. Off day. Let's get back to it today. Brewers and Twins tonight, 6:40 out at Target Field. Hope you catch Jeff Levering and Bill Schroeder and Sophia Minert on the call. I'm Dominic Catronio. Thank you for listening. Right back here this week, same time, same place. Until next time, keep on swinging.
You are Locked On Brewers, your daily Milwaukee Brewers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.